Welcome to the Uncommon Lives podcast, conversations for the whole woman. Here we explore different tips, tricks, and trends to make sure that you are out there living your best life. Join me, Asia B, as we have candid conversations with different thought leaders, as well as myself, exploring ways to make sure that you are living your absolute best life. Thank you guys for joining us for the Conversations for the Whole Woman podcast. We have our guest, Chrissy Hutch, and we are just going to be talking all about relationships.
Yes, ma'am.
So tell me, I know you have, we actually did a podcast, was it like a year or so ago?
And, yeah, I think it was about a year ago.
Okay. And that one, we, for some reason, I like literally lost the podcast. So I'm happy that you were so gracious to redo it with me. And I'm honored to share this space with you. I'm so excited just to walk on the journey to inspire other women who may be where you have been and also want to see some hope at the end of the tunnel. And so tell us a little bit about you. Give us some background. In regards to relationships, tell us your story.
Well, first and foremost, thank you for the invite. I know it's been a while, and I, you know, from time to time was wondering, like, okay, what's going on? Is the podcast ever going to be shared? But then once COVID kind of happened, I was just like, you know what? It, you know, it's whatever. I'm not, I didn't even want to bug you about it. So when we reconnected and you, you know, reached out to me and was, you know, considering doing another podcast, I was all for it. So thank you for the invite. Yeah. But my name is Christina Hutchings. I go by Chrissy Hutch. I am a military vet, full-time mom, a business owner. I also work in the medical field. I don't know, this year has just been so, trying to watch my words, how I want to describe it. I don't want to say loopy, but I just feel like this year has really brought order to a lot of homes and a lot of lives.
Yeah.
So just like the rest of the world, I'm just striding and learning and doing what I have to do to take care of my family and learning and just enjoying life and making the most of it. So
you already have one daughter and you're currently with child. So tell us a little bit about how that came about.
Well, I think we all know how that came
about. Facts.
But no, it wasn't planned. You know, it wasn't like we were checking, like, are you ovulating this week or this month or anything like that. It wasn't like that. It was just, we were in the mindset of, you know what, we're just going to continue to love on one another. And if that happens, then that it's meant to happen in its timing. Because when we were trying and just adding that extra pressure on one another, it wasn't happening in the time frame that we wanted it to happen. So once we kind of just, you know what, loosened up and said, you know, we're just going to leave it in God's hands, that's when it happened. So it kind of like just took us by surprise.
Yeah.
So we had to sit with it for a while, actually, because we were both kind of mind blown. This is something that we both have been wanting for some time now. But yeah, we're really excited.
Okay. So tell me about this new relationship. What do you, because I know the last time, just to give our listeners a preview, the last time we had a conversation, you had ended a relationship very quickly that with your ex-husband, I believe, where you guys had a daughter together, and very quickly you realized that the situation just was not serving you. It wasn't something that you needed to be a part of. So walk us through that journey. How did you really, if you want to give some backstory on what that looked like and what that felt like, because I know that many times, specifically where we are right now with COVID, A lot of people are doing some reflecting. A lot of people are looking at their partners and either saying, how can we build stronger, or saying, it's time for me to exit stage left. And that can be a difficult decision, specifically when you have children. So tell us, you know, about that transition and how you came to the space of really wanting to exit your first marriage.
Okay, so the last time we spoke during the podcast, I was actually in a relationship with my current partner.
Okay.
We were just in the beginning stages of it, and I feel like though we were solid, I didn't want to speak on it too soon. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, that's why kind of last minute I was like, you remember that part I was talking about relationships? Can you take that part out? Because I didn't want to. That was my mistake before, is just blasting my relationship and marriage and all over social media and knowing that at home we were going through it, but I wanted to put on face and things fell through and it bit me in the butt later. So I said, you know, the next relationship that I enter into, me personally, I'm not going to blast it and post it all over social media. You might get his neck tapped one day, might catch his hand the next, and that's about it. That's about it. Like, you know, so as far as the marriage is concerned, where do I want to start? I actually met my ex-husband while we were serving in the military together. He was 18 and I was 21.
Ooh.
We fooled around for about 6 months and then we got married and then we got pregnant and then he deployed. So it's like everything just kind of back to back happened and we were kids and we didn't know what we were doing. You know what I'm saying? But I truly believe that there was a point in time, even as kids, that we were, you know, really crazy about each other. We loved each other, but at the end of the day, we were married strangers as we began to age and reach our mid-20s. It's like, you know, I like you sometimes, but I'm not here. This is not where I want to be long-term. It's kind of where we both met. So I'm just a firm believer in, of course, though we were young, doing all that you can do to salvage a relationship. But once you reach that point where it's just like, okay, this is draining me, this is hurting me, you know, I'm depressed, I'm suicidal, I don't want to be here, and I'm better off, you know, raising my kid or my children in a healthy single parent home than a toxic dysfunctional home with both of her parents present. And that's where I was. And that ended, I would say, around like 2016. So from 2016 to about 2019 is when that was like my time. I wasn't like dating around. I wasn't sleeping around. That was my selfish time because I didn't have that before.
Yeah.
For it to just be, you know, for it to just be me.
Yeah.
And move how I want to move, even with a kid, to move how I want to move and just focus on me. And if I want to stay in the house and not wear a bra, let my titty swing a little bit, I can do that. I ain't got to do my hair. It was just me.
Mm-hmm.
I can go through phases and I can grow and I can cry and I can heal and I can punch my pillows and whatever it is that I have to do, I can go through that metamorphosis in peace without having to put on face for another, you know, man or human being.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I was. And I believe that's what prepared me for the current relationship that I'm in.
Okay. Okay.
I feel like I can ramble.
No. I love it. I love it because I feel like it gave context. And I was actually, you brought up some really good points and some things, because my intention here is to not only honor your story, is not only to show the beauty of having a wonderful relationship after something that you had to exit, you know, whatever it be, it served you at the moment, or it didn't, and then you decided that you needed to go in a different direction. But I want to show other women that no matter where you are, no matter what phase you're in, that there is life after. Like, be courageous in your journey. And so I appreciate that. And I appreciate the part of your story where you chose to do it with a child, because I think that many times people, women, use their children as an excuse rather than as their power, rather than as their guiding light. Like, no, I'm going to do this for my kids. I'm not going to stay for the kids. I'm going to leave for the kids. I'm never from the place of saying that everybody, oh, just leave them, girl. You know what I mean? Because I do think that every relationship is unique, but I also think that if that is a decision for you, then that's something that you should definitely do. But one thing you said for sure that I wanted to revisit is you said that things kind of move kind of quickly. Do you think that he was the person that was chosen for you? On a spiritual level, or do you think that he was the person that you chose?
He was definitely the person that I chose.
Yeah.
I knew better. Yeah, it was like, I knew better.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I knew better. I was just in that rebellious, backslidden, even though I was 21, it's kind of like, okay, Christina, you know better. Mm-hmm. But I was dealing with my own bitterness, my daddy issues, you know what I'm saying? So I just didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wasn't in that mental space of feeling. I was just basically acting out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And even in my act out, I received, you know, my joy, my Naomi, my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of my biggest lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like even after the rebellious, you know, stage, God still, you know, I believe he still can take that and turn that around for your good. But it's kind of like you both collectively have to want that and be in that space.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So once, you know, we had Naomi and, you know, she's one and going on two and motherhood hit me hard and I'm just like, okay, I'm fighting to do whatever we have to do to keep the family together. At the same time, it's like we are kids and there's a lot of learning that we need to do. And at the end of the day, we don't know each other.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? And we weren't taking that time to really get to know one another because, again, we had our own dysfunctions. We had our own daddy issues. And we weren't doing the work individually.
Because
I believe it, even in a partnership, even in a relationship, there's still a continuous pattern of work that we need to tend to individually.
Yeah.
My happiness, or your happiness, excuse me, your wholeness should not come from me.
Yep.
I'm flawed. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna fall short.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm your source of happiness, or, you know, I cringe when couples say, you know, I can't breathe without you, you know, I'm incomplete without you. I literally cringe because I'm like, sis, bro, that's not cute.
Period.
I'm gonna breathe without you, okay? I love you, you know, I wanna do life with you, but at the end of the day, I can breathe without you, okay? I'm gonna make it without you, but if I have to choose, I'd rather do life with you.
Yeah.
So, again, there's work that we both needed to do individually that we just weren't tending to, and it was just like this toxic pattern. So we both felt like it was more, what's the word I'm looking for? It benefited us more.
Mm-hmm.
If we both gracefully bowed out and kept the focus on, you know, our daughter, because it's like we're better apart,
yeah,
bro, you know, than together.
Yeah.
And I think that that takes two tired, mature people to just come to that conclusion, like, you know what, this just isn't, it isn't working, and we've done everything that we know how to do. So just gracefully bowing out was our, you know, was our option, place, I'd say.
Okay. I like it. I'm feeling it. I think that it is a space where sometimes when we make a mess of life, we choose things, we put ourselves in situations, it's kind of hard to go back and kind of say, uncle, kind of say, you know what? This is not, I thought this was going to work. I thought we could pull it together, but yeah, we can't.
I think it's a pride thing too. Like, some people just don't want to admit that the choice that I made or the choices that I'm making aren't working for me. It's a pride thing. No, I'm going to make this work.
Yeah.
I'm going to put this little square block in this circle block. I'm going to make it fit. No.
It ain't gonna work. It's never gonna work. So I love that. So let's fast forward a little bit, because obviously during that time and exiting that relationship and choosing to become a single mother, I know that that number one took courage. It took some grit. You know, what did you learn? What did you learn that prepared you for your next?
What did I learn that prepared me for my next? This is gonna sound real bougie, but honestly, that I'm good either way. You know, I was so hung up off of not raising my child alone or not raising my kids alone. And I wanna be with somebody and I wanna be married about a certain time and X, Y, and Z, but I'm just like, you know what? I'm never gonna get to a point, and this is me, I'm never gonna get to a point where I allow another flawed human being to hurt me or break me so bad to where I don't continue to give love a try. And if love doesn't work out for me, then at least I know that I showed up, that I, you know, I went hard, and I don't know, it just is what it is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I got to a point where it's like, I don't want to give somebody that much power over me to where, whether you're an ex, whether you're a foe, friend, father, family member, whatever, I don't want to give someone that much power over me to the point where it's like, I'm not open to try love again. You know, I'm so cold-hearted. So I think that that's one of the main big things that I've learned. I think ever since that, you know, or the divorce, I've always been optimistic about love. I've just been more intentional about it.
Okay.
And I think that was the difference. I found out during my singleness what I'll allow, what I don't allow. What is it that I like? What is it that I don't like? What are my pet peeves? What are things that set me off? You know what I'm saying? Now that I'm a mother, it's not just about me or what you can do for me or what we can do for each other, but, you know, do you like kids? Do you want more kids? Are you a good father figure? Are you a creep? It's all these different things that you have to take into consideration, and discernment is and will always be a key factor. It's a game changer. And if there's an individual who doesn't have it, I suggest praying for it, because discernment will save you from a whole lot of heartache and a whole lot of pain. Discernment will read people before you even sit down and have coffee with
them. Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah, no,
so,
I...
That's just something that I had to learn. I had to be still enough to just accept.
Yeah.
Because, you know, men and women, I think we grieve differently.
Mm-hmm.
After the divorce, it was like maybe 2 months later, he was with somebody else.
Yeah.
That's what you want to do? Cool. Me, I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
Part of me, let me be honest. A part of me wanted to because I saw that he did it. And I was like, well, yeah, you gonna move on? You ain't gonna move on before me. I'm gonna show you I can move on too. So a part of me wanted to. The petty side.
Yeah.
But the other side was like, okay, Christy, you're getting older. You really want to get to the root of this thing? Do you want to keep repeating this? Because this is something, this is your norm. This is something that you've grown up and you've seen. Is this something that you want to repeat? Is this something that you want your daughter to see? You bringing men in and out? Or do you want to really unravel the stuff that you've raveled, or maybe some of the stuff that I didn't even ravel? Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like sometimes we fight with things that have nothing to do with us.
Yeah.
And that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah.
So just taking that time during my singleness to do the work. And I'm still doing the work.
Right.
Though I'm in a relationship, I'm still a whole woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's what single means. I'm still a whole woman. And I'm still doing that work. I'm still going to therapy every week. I'm still having those hard conversations. I'm still, you know, talking about those triggers. Still having those hard conversations. So I don't think that there is ever like a time where it just stops. Or you're never not doing the work. It's a continuance of work, but I think the workload just changes. It may get heavier, it may get lighter, but there's always a load.
Yeah. No, I love that. And I love that you just sprinkled therapy in there. Thank you. Because I'm about it. I'm about therapy. I think it's a major key. I think it's necessary. I feel like every person, specifically every Black person, should be in therapy because there is just the way that this country is set up. We are dealt trauma daily. We are dealt trauma on so many different levels. And I think it's empowering when you're able to see those things and you're able to see who you really are. So I feel like that's a major key that you just dropped. Like, because even though you may or may not have, you put it in these terms, but I think that every relationship starts with the relationship with self. And I think taking a step back, and although, like you said, we want to do the get back, like, oh no, I'm cute. Oh no, first of all, I can kill it in these streets too. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's an important thing where you take a step back and you really start to say, who am I? What do I enjoy? Because the truth is, you can't tell somebody what you want or show somebody what you need if you don't know. And if you're looking for them to fill those holes, there's a book that I'm reading right now and I've been talking about it like crazy. It's called The Mastery of Love by Don Miguel Ruiz. And it's really a relationship book. And so it kind of breaks down relationships and really shows you the essence
just
of what love
the board.
Is. Yeah.
Not necessarily romantic, but just relationships.
Just relationships in general. And what it shows you is what you just tapped on. It's like, if I am a woman and I have holes within me, and then there is a man who has holes within him, if you are, you know, dating men and all of that, then you're expecting that person to fill those holes. And you are chasing them and desiring this thing from me, and you're acting from essentially a place of desperation. You know,
that's that codependency.
But when you
and
come,
that's scary.
It's scary. It's toxic and it's dangerous. But when you come from a place of being a complete person, and you find a complete person, and not perfect, but complete, you know?
Right. Or even just someone that's, they may not be the finished product. Like, the cake may not be fully baked.
Right.
But they're at least mixed together and in the oven.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they're at least pursuing and doing that work. Not to impress you, not to impress me, but somebody that's really passionate about putting and keeping themselves first. Mm. And that's something that my partner now is so headstrong about. You know what I'm saying? Is like, I love you. I enjoy spending time with you. I like being alone too. I'm all for it. Mm-hmm. I like when you go. I like you with toys. I like that. You know what I'm saying? So I think that that's important. That's important. That's important.
Yeah, to be separate and then come together to enjoy one another, to share yeah. one another. It's like
it gives you that chance to miss each other.
Yeah, to miss each mm-hmm. other. And then also, life is to be experienced. It's not, we are in partnership, but you mm-hmm. are not the end all and be all. Maybe I want to paint and you don't like painting. I'm going to go paint though. Right. Like
I'm going to paint. And there's things that I'm passionate about or things that I was, you know, doing or habits that I had, whether, you know, what self-care or buy myself flowers or just going to the bookstore or going to the gym, whatever. There were things in my daily routine that I did that he had to remind me, don't stop doing that because I'm here. Mm-hmm. You want to buy yourself flowers every Tuesday? Don't stop doing that because I'm here. And it's like, oh, now you here. So now I want you to buy me flowers. No, you keep buying you flowers.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy you flowers from time to time. I don't mind doing that. But I want you to keep doing what you were doing as if I'm not even here. Don't allow things to change that you enjoy because now I'm here. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I want you to still take care of you. I want you to still go out and get your hair done. And, you know, we tend to get a little lazy because it's like, oh, I got him, girl. He ain't going nowhere. No, it's still a possibility that he could go somewhere. what I'm doing is not necessarily for him, or it may not necessarily be, you know, what mm-hmm. you're doing may not necessarily be for that other person. But still at the same time, I think it's, whether man or woman, we tend to one get lazy, and I think it's unattractive, you know, to allow things to kind of just, you know, when I came to visit you, you had a clean house, and now you're living together, and now you just let the house be any kind of way. Mm-hmm. You kind of, you know, you look and you like, hold on, what's going on? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So to just keep that up. And mm-hmm. I think that if that's something that you were doing, that you were practicing before the man or before the woman, it's a habit, it's a yeah. part of you. This isn't something that you just putting on just because, oh, now you got a man and your libido is up. You know what I'm saying? So
how does it work going from being a single mother to being in relationship? And how does that... How did it work with you even introducing your daughter and things like that?
Well, me and G, or G and I, we've actually known each other since we were teenagers.
Okay.
And we lost all contact. So for about, I think between about 10 to 12 years, there was like no communication. We were looking for each other, Facebook and all of that, and it was just no communication. But I always remembered him because he was such a nice guy, and he was that guy that never tried anything on me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't no slick talker with me. He wasn't trying to get me in the bed. You know, he was just a really sweet guy. So our friendship was it was platonic, and we communicated well. So I always had that like in the back of my head, even while I was wilding, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? I knew that nice guys existed because I always had G in the back of my head. So we reconnected early 2019, and we were actually long distance. So he was in Brooklyn and I was in Virginia. So about 11 months actually, we were long distance. We were communicating every day. He would visit like every other month. So we were just like getting to know the adult version of each other. It's like we know each other, but we're getting to know the adult version because, you know, we not little Chrissy and little Gina no more. Okay. So it was that. It wasn't hard just opening up to him about what happened, my situation. There wasn't like any weird tension, which in the past, honestly, it's been me opening up about me having a child to guys, whether I was dating or whatnot. It was just kind of, I literally had a guy tell me, I can take care of you, but I can't take care of both of y'all. So I'm just like, if you know I got a child, why would you even ask me out on the date? Like, that's right. Stupid. Thank you for the meal. That's stupid. You know what I'm saying? So the conversation between G and I has always been like an easy going, you know, conversation. He's always been my person. So him and Naomi would, you know, chat, video chat. He would come and visit her. And for me, I think the deal breaker was, it was like Donuts and Dad's Day. And I was freaking out because I'm like, this is our first Donuts and Dad's Day and her dad ain't here. And I remember he said, you know, I'm gonna get on a train, I'm gonna come down there, I'm gonna take her to Donuts and Dad's. We're gonna have like this whole day, take her to the movies, take her out to eat, and then I'm gonna head back to New York. But he literally hopped on the train, stayed for like a day or two just to take her to her donuts and dad's, and then went back to New York. So I think that was like the deal breaker for me. Like, oh, this guy's okay, he for real. Yeah. That was like the icing on the cake. Like, if somebody really is about it, they're gonna show up and show out.
Period.
You know what I'm saying? That was that icing on the cake with the little cherry and sprinkles. That was it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it was a lot of talking that we had to do because we both have our own individual things that we're healing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, you know, for us to come together, how is this, would this look like for us? I don't want things to change. I don't ever want us to get too comfortable. Mm-hmm. I think those are important conversations to have early on before making any big decisions. You know, have that conversation of, we're friends first. Mm-hmm. We've been friends for a really long time. And I don't ever want it to get so stressful that I think the title of husband, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, partnership, all these IP titles can just add stress onto a friendship. Mm-hmm. We're friends first.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We can talk, we can debate. I'm a Leo, he a Capricorn, so we gonna debate, we gonna talk about some things. You know what I'm saying? So, having those hard conversations early on, and I mean, though it's been blissful, though it's been beautiful and passionate, it's been hard too.
Okay.
It's been hard. You know what I'm saying? Because you have two different worlds coming together as one under one roof, coexisting together.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And he doesn't have any, of course, pregnant now, but prior to the pregnancy, he didn't have any children of his own. He's never been in that mindset of fatherhood or even being in that role 25-8. So yeah. For him to go from like this bachelor, you know, vibe, you know, on his own, moving and shaking like he wants to, you know, and now coming here and Naomi's all up under him, you know, how was your day? You know, helping out with homework and not just cooking for one. Now you got to cook for three.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally different. You know, it's different.
Yeah.
For him.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, Naomi's dad and I, we went our separate ways when she was about two. So now having that dynamic of, I don't have to do it by myself anymore.
Right.
There's things that I used to stress about that I don't have to stress about, you know, anymore. have somebody to talk to about the bills. I don't have to figure out bills by myself anymore. It's just like those little things that single mothers have to do on a daily basis that it eases up when there's someone in the household who's responsible, who wants to be there, who's willing to be there and enjoys taking care of a household. It's totally different. So we're both adjusting and just finding our rhythm.
Yeah. So how do you guys, how are you navigating the difficult times? Do you have certain systems that you put into place or certain practices that you've adopted to, because every relationship has challenges, right? How do you guys navigate those challenges?
One, we talk. Like, when we're talking and it's getting to that point, we'll just say, you know what, this is off the grid. This is just C and G right now. This is off the grid. We're gonna talk. If you need to cuss a little bit, do what you gotta do. Just say it. Don't try to paint it up and make it sound so pretty, and just say it. How you feel it, just say it. And we're not gonna bring this back up later, rub it in each other's face. We ain't gonna hit below the belt. We just gonna, so we have those, and they're intense. Okay, they're intense, and I mean, there's things that have been said that sting a little bit, you know what I'm saying? And then we have to talk through that. But one, we communicate, and we're learning to comprehend better. They say communication is like key in a relationship, but I'm like, you can talk all day,
right?
But if you're not comprehending what I'm saying, then we're really not going nowhere. You know what I'm saying? So communication and comprehension kind of go hand in hand. We give each other space.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like weekend on, weekend off space. You go out with your girls. I'm going to go hang out with the guys, find a babysitter for the kid. You know what I'm saying? And then we'll come back and we'll light the candles and we'll chill. You know, have our own little vibe out session. You know, okay, 1, 2, 3, break. Kind of thing.
Yeah.
So we give each other space, which I think is important. And I don't know, it's no crazy demands. For me in the beginning, I kind of secretly had like this checklist, but it wasn't a big checklist. It was just like on a little sticky note. So I had my little checklist. but that, I don't know, it just added tension. You know, so I had to throw that out, and I'm just like, you know what? I'm in love with the person, and I'm falling in love with the process of two people coming together, two people who are willing to do the work. That's first and foremost. I'm not forcing nobody to do no work. I ain't putting no gun to your head to make you be here or stay here. I say we choose every single day where we want to be, whether we're dating, whether we're married, whatever. You're still making that conscious decision of, I'm choosing this person.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And once all of these, like, these are all the different dynamics, the things that, I don't know, I just have to remind myself, like, on a daily basis that this isn't just no abracadabra overnight. This isn't no cute little Instagram picture. You know, this is hard, hard work. If you want to make something work, you have to do the hard work. So communicating, comprehending what I'm saying, you know, or what he's saying or she's saying, comprehending that, apologizing, you know what I'm saying, undoing patterns, you know, I'm not going to apologize and then do again the very thing that I apologized for. I'm not going to do that, you know what I'm saying. It's like a beautiful, I don't want to say roller coaster, but it's just like the, like a ride.
Okay.
You know, like a never-ending ride. And it may be difficult at first because you're not used to roller coasters. So it may be a little challenging at first. You know, once you're on the roller coaster and you're next to somebody, somebody that you, you know, you're building a trust with and you love. I don't know. After a while, you know, at first you may be cringing on the roller coaster, but then you realize who you're next to. So now you loosen up a little bit. And now your hands is in the air.
Yeah.
You crying, laughing, and you drooling all over the place. You begin to enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much like where we are.
Okay. Cool. Do you think that this relationship has moved slower than your first marriage?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
Do you think that that's made a difference?
Has it been different? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think now that, you know, I'm older, I'm embracing that.
Okay.
I'm embracing. I think too fast scares me. I enjoy just, you know what?
Yeah.
I enjoy that, like, the solitude, the, I don't know, like, the stillness, like, the, I don't know, ambiance, I don't know, the peace.
Yeah.
I enjoy that, the steadiness. I enjoy that. Too fast, too soon. I pull back. Like, hold on, where is this coming from?
Yeah.
So I'm enjoying that. That's something like in my early 20s, I would not have enjoyed. I would have got bored. But now I'm enjoying it. I'm embracing it, and I appreciate it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's such an important. I think that when things move slowly. It's mm-hmm. like, it's more ease. And then you can also see clearly. You can say, you know, this feels good. Okay, we need to pivot here. Okay, we need to adjust. When things are fast, it's kind of like, you don't know what's what. You're just like, yeah. Woo! Like, we're going fast. Right. Like, everything's going fast.
Exactly.
And you look up and you're like, what in the world?
Yeah, what just happened? How did I end up here? Who are you?
Right. So I always, that's something that I've been, you know, hearing more as I've been doing these, having these conversations, is that many times the first time around or previous relationships, things move more fast. And then you look up and you're like, how did I get here? But I think there's mm-hmm. wisdom in moving slowly. I think there's wisdom. And now I want to qualify that, because sometimes people are like, oh, we've been dating for 50 years. No, I don't mean that
slow.
Yeah,
like,
I'm
ain't dragging my feet, yeah.
So I think I'm saying slow as in maybe not months. Maybe you just take a little bit longer and you take things in stages. So I think there's definitely wisdom.
Stages. I like that.
Yeah. What advice would you give to somebody who is right now about to make that step to leave a relationship that's not serving them, that may be toxic to them? And they're like, man, how am I ever going to get somebody? How am I ever going to find somebody who's going to love me? What advice would you give to them?
I would first say to change your perspective. Don't leave one relationship looking or expecting someone else to love you on the level that you know you deserve to be loved. I believe that starts with you. So if you're going to leave a relationship that's no longer serving you, leave that relationship already with the mindset of, I'm going to love me. Mm-hmm. The love that I know that I deserve, the love that I usually pour out, I'm going to pour that right back. Like, I'm going to give that to me.
Yeah.
So for me, when it comes to motherhood, I'm learning that I'm also mothering myself with mothering my kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because there's things that I've went through. At my daughter's age, she's 5 and she'll be 6 on the 25th. There's things that I've experienced and went through at her age that she has not and will not experience.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing that and knowing that, I get so emotional, because it's like that whole saying of, it stops with me.
Yeah.
is real. It's smack dab in my face every single day. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So want to leave a relationship, just change your perspective of you're not looking for someone else to love you on the level that you know that you deserve to be loved. Take that time. Love on yourself.
Yeah.
That, and it's hard. Okay, especially if you're like a giver. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm a giver. I'm a fixer. Oh, you need help? Let me help you. Oh, I just love him. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's just so nice. He can't do nothing for me, but look at him. He's just so nice and sweet, and he means well, and he ain't got all his teeth. He ain't got no job or no club. I mean, he look at him. I'm a fixer. I want to help. That is exhausting.
Yeah.
It's so exhausting for the giver.
Yeah.
So learning how to take all that energy and put it inward is a challenge for us, mm-hmm. because it's like we feed off the energy of seeing someone else light up when mm-hmm. we do for them.
Yeah,
that's filling our cup right there. Mm-hmm. So it's a different tone now that we're doing the total opposite and giving all that love to ourselves. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, just start it, and once you find that rhythm of loving on yourself, can't nothing shake you, can't nothing stop you. You know what I'm saying? It's ongoing.
Yeah.
That was so many jewels. I'm so super excited about getting relaunched with the podcast and the Conversations for Whole Women Relationships Chats. If you want to reconnect or connect with Chrissy, you can do so on Instagram @_ChrissyHutch or @ShopChrissy's. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time.